When God saves us through faith in His Son, Jesus Christ, our whole world changes. We have a new life, a new purpose, and a new King. And we also have a new power to live a life that honors God through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. The Apostle Paul urged the church at Ephesus to live their lives consistent with their new calling as children of God. He says in Ephesians chapter 4, "I urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called." In other words, don't take advantage of the kindness and grace of God. Walk in holiness as one bought by the blood of Christ should. Today on Delight in the Word, Pastor Paul Tauches preaches from the Old Testament book of Exodus chapter 19, verses 1 through 11. We'll see how God impressed this principle on His people and on us. His message is titled, "Love the Lord your God." Let's open our Bibles there as we together delight in the Word.
Well, let's open our Bibles together to Exodus 19. Exodus chapter 19. And once you find that, then please follow along with me, beginning in Exodus 19, verse 1. On the third new moon, after the people of Israel had gone out of the land of Egypt, it's about 7 weeks after the Exodus, 7 weeks after the Passover, when Israel was spared because of the blood of the Lamb, and Egypt was judged. On that day, they came into the wilderness of Sinai. Sinai should be familiar to you, because not many weeks ago, we looked at that being the very place where Moses received his call. So now Moses has led the people back to that very same mountain where he first met God and where he was called by God. They set out from Rephidim and came into the wilderness of Sinai, and they encamped in the wilderness. There Israel encamped before the mountain while Moses went up to God. The Lord called to him out of the mountain, saying, "Thus you shall say to the house of Jacob and tell the people of Israel, you yourselves have seen what I did to the Egyptians and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, you shall be my treasured possession among all peoples, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation." These are the words that you shall speak to the people of Israel. So Moses came and called the elders of the people and set before them all these words that the Lord had commanded him. All the people answered together and said, "All that the Lord has spoken, we will do." And Moses reported the words of the people to the Lord. And the Lord said to Moses, "Behold, I am coming to you in a thick cloud, that the people may hear when I speak with you, and may also believe you forever." When Moses told the words of the people to the Lord said to Moses, "Go to the people and consecrate them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their garments. And be ready for the third day, for on the third day the Lord will come down on Mount Sinai in the sight of all the people. And you shall set limits for the people all around, saying, 'Take care not to go up into the mountain or touch the edge of it. Whoever touches the mountain shall be put to death. No hand shall touch him, but he shall be stoned or shot. Whether beast or man, he shall not live.' When the trumpet sounds a long blast, they shall come up to the mountain." So Moses went down from the mountain to the people and consecrated the people, and they washed their garments. And he said to the people, "Be ready for the third day. Do not go near a woman." On the morning of the third day, there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud on the mountain and a very loud trumpet blast, so that all the people in the camp trembled. Then Moses brought the people out of the camp to meet God, and they took their stand at the foot of the mountain. Now Mount Sinai was wrapped in smoke because the Lord had descended on it in fire. The smoke of it went up like the smoke of a kiln, and the whole mountain trembled greatly. And as the sound of the trumpet grew louder and louder, Moses spoke, and God answered him in thunder. The Lord came down on Mount Sinai to the top of the mountain, and the Lord called Moses to the top of the mountain, and Moses went up. And the Lord said to Moses, "Go down and warn the people, lest they break through to the Lord to look, and many of them perish. Also let the priests who come near to the Lord consecrate themselves, lest the Lord break out against them." And Moses said to the Lord, "The people cannot come up to Mount Sinai, for you yourself warned us, saying, 'Set limits around the mountain and consecrate it.'" And the Lord said to him, "Go down and come up, bringing Aaron with you. But do not let the priests and the people break through to come up to the Lord, lest he break out against them." So Moses went down to the people and told them. And God spoke all these words, saying, "I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in the earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and the fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing steadfast love to thousands of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall work and do all of your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male servant or your female servant, your livestock or the sojourner who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife or his male servant or his female servant or his ox or his donkey or anything that is your neighbor's. Now when all the people saw the thunder and the flashes of lightning and the sound of the trumpet and the mountain smoking, the people were afraid and trembled, and they stood far off and said to Moses, "You speak to us and we will listen, but do not let God speak to us lest we die." Moses said to the people, "Do not fear, for God has come to test you, that the fear of him may be before you, that you may not sin." The people stood far off while Moses drew near to the thick darkness where God was. Now, when we get to this place in the book of Exodus, we recognize that God has redeemed his people from slavery. He has claimed them as his own possession, and now he commands them to walk in his ways. And then the rest of the book will be a description of his commands and his provisions. So how have we gotten to this place in this series, from garden to garden, thinking about how God is working out his big picture of redemption from the Garden of Eden to the garden in Revelation 21, which all the redeemed shall enjoy in the presence of the Lord? What has God done? Well, by way of reminder, the Lord created all things, and he created all things good, but man sinned. And so in the curses that God gave forth to the man and the woman and the serpent came a promise of redemption, a promise of hope. The seed of the woman, God said to Satan, would one day crush his head. And he would do that by defeating sin and conquering death. And then we move forward a little bit into Genesis, and we see the call of Abraham, where God says, "Through you, Abraham, through you I shall bless all the nations of the earth." through your Son, whom I will give to you. And we see later that God uses the pride of Joseph and the evil of his brothers to get the whole family to move to Egypt, to save them from starvation, but then to bring them to where he wanted them in Egypt, where they would experience 400 years of bondage to the Egyptians. God would then show himself mighty by judging the Egyptians and saving his people. But the gladness didn't last long. That gladness of redemption, that gladness of salvation, that gladness that God had spared them. And so as they're traveling to Mount Sinai, the whining and the griping and the complaining begins. They don't have enough to eat. They don't like what God has provided. They don't have enough to drink. And on it goes. And so they've journeyed 7 weeks now, and they're here at the edge of Mount Sinai, where Moses met God at the age of 80. And they are ready to hear from God. But even in that 7 week journey, God has done little things to remind them of his faithfulness to keep his promise. He brings forth water from a rock. And so just as striking the rock brings water to nourish his people and quench their thirst, so through the striking of the rock of ages, the Lord Jesus Christ would come living water, which Jesus said to the woman at the well, will meet your every need. And from the manna that they found on the ground every morning comes this reminder that the mercies of God are new every morning. And how great is his faithfulness. And that one day Jesus would say, I am the bread of life. I am the bread of life. And so now at the foot of the mountain, God makes a covenant with Israel. He reminds them of their salvation and he calls them to walk according to his ways. As Vaughn Roberts writes, it is here that God has something to teach them. God is not just a God who delivers. He is also a God who demands and draws near. He wants to bless his people. From the early days of the promise, we remember that God made it clear that through Abraham a new nation would be born, that this new nation would bless all the peoples of the earth, that they would be his people, God's people, his own possession. And because they were his own possession, they needed to be set apart. Not just set apart by God as his holy possession, but they also needed to learn what it meant to live in such a way as to be set apart from the rest of the nations. And therein lies one of the key reasons for the law, was to set Israel apart from all the nations, that through their obedience to God's commands, their light would be seen. And so that's where they find them here at the start of chapter 19. As we walk through this passage this morning, there are three key truths that God wants you to remember and apply. Three key truths. Number one, God is holy and therefore demands that his people be holy. God is holy and therefore demands that his people be holy. Look at verse 3. While Moses went up to God, the Lord called him out of the mountain, saying, thus you shall say to the house of Jacob and tell the people of Israel, you yourselves have seen what I did to the Egyptians, how I judged them, how I punished them, and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now, therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, you shall be my treasured possession among all the peoples, for all the earth is mine. So God makes it clear that all the earth is his, all the nations belong to him, but through this one nation whom he has redeemed, he would fulfill his redemptive purpose. And you shall be to me, verse 6, a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. That verse is key to understanding this whole context. God is giving them the law, summarized, encapsulated in the framework of the Ten Commandments, to set them apart as a holy nation. He redeemed them from slavery. He has made them his own. Now, God calls them to live out their new freedom in obedience to his commands. The same is true for us. The same is true for believers in Jesus Christ. The Apostle Peter, in fact, borrows language from this chapter to compel believers to understand that we are God's holy possession, we are his unique people, and he has set us apart, and therefore we must live in such a way that we are set apart from the rest of the world. In 1 Peter chapter 1, Peter writes, "As obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance," or your former life lived in the ignorance of God. "But as he who called you is holy, you also shall be holy in your conduct." And then he draws a verse out of Leviticus, "You shall be holy, for I am holy." And then in chapter 2, the language comes straight out of Exodus 19. "You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, so that you may proclaim to the world the excellencies of him who saved you." And so, as Israel was called by God out of the world as his own special people, unique, to represent him to the rest of the world, so believers in Jesus Christ have been called, set apart, redeemed. We belong to God. We are now his possession. And now he says to us, now live like you are my possession. Live like you belong to me. Don't live like the world that you were once a part of. Don't live under the world's values and agenda, which used to govern your life, but now live under the rule of God. And so I ask you, what is holiness looking like in your life right now? Are you pursuing holiness? Are you striving after Christ? Or are you complacent? Are you content to remain the way that you are? Do you have a very casual, slipshod approach to the Christian life? Oh, you know Christ and you're saved and that's enough for you. Really? Really? He who gave his all for you? He who died in your place and rose from the dead to set you free from bondage? How can you live in that bondage any longer? Are you pursuing holiness? See, we are called to discipline ourselves toward godliness. Why is that? Because we should want to be more and more like the God who saved us. Be holy, he says, because I am holy, and you now belong to me. You are not your own, Paul says at the end of 1 Corinthians 6. You have been bought with a price. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you have no other life except the glorious life that now belongs to you in Christ. Don't go back to the old life. Don't go back to Egypt. Why would you want to go there? God has brought you out. Live like you're out of slavery and pursue his holiness. There's a second truth he wants you to remember and apply. Not only that God is holy and therefore demands that his people be holy, but number two, God has revealed himself through words. This is really important. God has revealed himself through words and therefore demands that his people listen and obey. Look at the text with me, verse 7. So Moses came and called the elders of the people and set before them all these words. I have that circled in red in my Bible, that the Lord had commanded him. All the people answered together and said, all that the Lord has spoken. Words, see? We will do. And Moses reported the words of the people to the Lord, and the Lord said to Moses, behold, I'm coming to you in a thick cloud that the people may hear. Hear what? Hear my words. Hear when I speak with you. And may also believe you forever. When Moses told the words of the people to the Lord said to Moses, go to the people and consecrate them today. You see the repetition of this throughout the chapter. The Lord said, the Lord said. God has revealed himself through words and therefore demands that his people listen and obey. I mean, think about it. Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. How did he create? By speaking words. It is through his words that he gave life to the universe. It is through his words that he gives life to our soul. And then notice also this theme of consecration, verse 10. Go to the people and consecrate them today. Consecrate means to set apart, to dedicate, to set apart as holy. And then verse 14, so Moses went down from the mountain to the people and consecrated the people, and they washed their garments. There was this conscious recognition of the need to be cleansed before entering the presence of God. God is so holy, here are the boundaries. Don't you dare go inside those boundaries, or you shall be struck dead, or you shall be shot. That's a way of showing how distinct God is from us. That's really what the word holy means. It means unique. It means set apart. God is so unique and set apart from us. But you see in this repetition of this theme of words from God that should lead to consecration, that there is this reoccurring theme throughout Scripture that we are people who are to live under God's authority, which is for our good and for our blessing. And that is what God wants his people to really get here, is that his commands are not binding. His commands create an atmosphere of freedom. Freedom from sin, its power and its bondage. I mean, think about it. Back to Genesis again. Back to the Garden of Eden. When God made Adam and Eve, they lived in humble submission to God. They lived in sublime joy within the commands of God. But then they stepped outside of the commands of God, right? They sinned. And when they sinned, their view of God and their view of authority changed immediately. And they tried to hide from God. They didn't think God's authority was a good thing in their life. Now they were threatened by the concept that God would be ruling over them. And so they distrusted him. And now sin has caused man to be suspicious of not only God's authority, but authority in general. And the nature of man is to resist and rebel. It's the same today, right? Nothing's changed. As sinners, we are by nature bent toward personal autonomy, right? That's what the sin nature essentially is. We are bent toward doing our own thing, but not living under God's rule.
Thanks for listening. If you'd like to hear this message again, you can find the program on our website at delightintheword.org. You can also find the program wherever you listen to your podcasts. If you haven't been to our website, we encourage you to take some time to browse through the resources available there. Pastor Paul has written a number of books and blog posts that will encourage you and challenge you in your faith and equip you to more effectively minister to others. You'll find them at delightintheword.org. This program has been brought to you by Cornerstone Community Church in Mayfield Heights, Ohio. If you live near Cleveland and you're not already involved in a church, we invite you to visit us at Cornerstone. We'll continue our series on God's great unfolding plan of redemption next time as we together delight in the Word.